Hallelujah. Thank you for all the resources we have to get that new amp. Hallelujah. We worship you, we praise you. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you now that it's time for us to gather around your word. Thank you that it's time for us to focus on the scriptures. Really get to grips with the word. Thank you that it is the power of the word in our lives that we need for permanent change. Thank you that it's through understanding that we can be changed. So thank you for the seeds we're about to plant. Thank you for the fruit that can be produced through understanding. So as we see in the word, we speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus for everyone listening to these seeds being planted. Speak out understanding so that they're not stolen away, that they may germinate, they may grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, darling. Sorry, I meant to ask, can you stick your phone up here and do the necessary? Hallelujah. So don't forget, Friday night is prayer night, monthly at Annie's at 7:30, and Saturday the 21st of March, men, if you want to go for a walk, I might even buy you a bacon roll afterwards. I might. And the 26th of March is the next breakfast in here.
Yeah, so
okay, dokie. And that's what time?
Here
for 8:30. All right, perfect. Okay, dokie. Let's start. Where's my message? I am conscious that. There we go. Conscious that I've not got back to my series on Colossians. I am going to get there. Probably late spring, probably summer, I want to finish working my way through Colossians because I love doing that. And it's an amazing, amazing book. But I've got a little mini-series. Thank you, Stu. I'll do that again. I've got a little mini-series. Hallelujah. Move that a little way. The light's going up and down because of that window. So I'm moving around this way. That's better. Hallelujah. That's much better. So we'll try that again. I'm doing a little mini series for the next 4 weeks on a topic that is really impacting me right now. Many of you know, I mean, Michelle's kind of mentioned it already this morning. Many of you know that we have worked our way through a video series by Dr. Caroline Leaf. She wrote the book, 21 Day Brain Detox, or what was that, How to Wake Up Your Brain? How to Switch On Your Brain and Think, Learn, Succeed. So these books have had such an impact on me, I can't remember their titles. Anyway, they're great. And we've been working through that on a Thursday night. There's a Bible study group over in Inverurie working on it. Evelyn's using it on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon with her little Bible study. And I know there's other people kind of working their way through it as well. Teaching about how our thinking can influence our lives. I mean, I've been teaching that for years. But this teaching from Caroline Leaf that we've got recently is really impacting me in terms of having amazing biblical truths that we've been preaching on for years, backed up by science. And you know me, I love my science. You know how good it is? Even nuns is kind of getting into quantum physics. That's how good it is. Isn't that right, babe?
Only a tiny bit.
Only a tiny bit, yeah. What it's shown to me is, Well, God wrote this, didn't he?
Yep.
And God created everything. God created our brains. So it's no surprise that we can find out how our brains work in the Bible. Because he's working everything together. So it's just amazing, and it's showing us that, for me, the messages that I've been preaching on for years about taking every thought captive, about death and life and the power of the tongue, about as a man thinketh, so is he, about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that's all backed up by science. And if we put that into a process, it works. So that teaching's had a huge impact on me, impact on others. And we're working through a simple model on how to do this 21-day process. And I'm sharing that journey on Facebook. If you want to join with me, it's a page called The Grace Coach. So have a look on that. And I've spoken to a number of people recently who are following the model, and it's impacting their life as well. So it's very exciting. But one of the things you do in this model is you sit and think really hard. Think about the thoughts that are coming up into your head. And then tie them in with Scripture. Are they true? Are they lies? According to Scripture. And there's one word that for the last week or so has just been bubbling up into my consciousness, into my thoughts, that is blowing me away. And it's coming from the Word. And it's the Word we have to use to change our thought patterns, to change our lives. It's through Scripture, through doctrines, through truths from the Lord that will help us through this process. And this one word that keeps coming up again and again and again in my reflective sessions is this word, atonement. Atonement. And I've been working on this and meditating on it for like the last week and before that as well. And I've preached on this before, but I've had some real deeper revelations about what this word means. Deeper understanding what that big word, big fancy word means. And these truths have taken me to a deeper level, deeper understanding about the atonement. And I thought, well, I wonder if everyone else needs to know this as well. So you're going to get it for the next four, well, you're not going to get it. I'm going to teach you on this for the next 4 weeks. Because one of the things you do in this brain detox is replace the lies with truth. And the way you put truth in there is through the Word. So focusing on the Word, imagining the Word happening in your life. So me, for the next week while, I'm going to be focused on this truth on the atonement. So I want to teach on that in this mini-series up until towards the end of March. So, in church, we use big words, don't we? We quite often use big words. We hear the preachers saying these big words. We've got like our own language in church. I don't like this expression, but I've heard people calling it Christianese. I don't like that. But there is a language that we use in church. And especially pastors and teachers. And we use these big words. And because we've used them, well, I've been using them now for 11 years, I assume everybody understands what these words are. Justification, sanctification, righteousness, atonement. I wonder sometimes if we're sitting in church, some of us are sitting in church and hearing these words, and let's be really honest, thinking, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that big word means. And we're afraid to ask. Why? Because we think we're supposed to know. Because we've heard this word, if you've been listening to me, you know, righteousness, you've heard this word for 10 years now. If I've been preaching about righteousness for 10 years, I should know what that is. Better not ask him. And sometimes we don't ask because we think we know what it means. That's even more dangerous. You think you know what it means, but you don't. Now this is where I need to be standing in front of a mirror, because this is what I've been getting for the last 2 weeks as I've gone through my process of brain detox. I thought I knew this, but I mean, I've been teaching you guys for 10 years. I thought I knew this pretty well. I thought I knew about atonement. Oh, see, when you start thinking like that, that's dangerous ground. It's always something new to learn. So, there's probably some of you sitting there thinking, I don't know what that word atonement means. That's great, you don't have to put your hands up and say that, because I'm going to tell you, within come the next 3 weeks, you'll go away at the end of March, I know all about atonement. Or you'll know some of it. Because even I can't teach everything to perfection. I know that's hard to believe, but there'll be some bits missing. So I've decided to take March to look at this word, atonement. And the first thing I did was I did something that I told you never to do. I'm always telling you, never do this. What's the first thing I did?
Googled
it. Hallelujah, you know me so well. Googled it, because Wikipedia knows everything, eh? Wikipedia is the truth. Google knows everything. Ask Siri, ask Alexa, ask those other thingies, whoever they are. Ask them. Google, ask all these people. What is it? So I thought, just for a laugh, I'll Google it. So I did. I Googled, what is the atonement? What do you think I got up first? Loads of pictures of Keira Knightley. And who's the other boy?
James
McAvoy. No, that is, I put, what is atonement? So then I put in, what is the atonement? And I put Kane. And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. So it gave us that secular view first. It said, the actions of making amends for a wrong or an injury. The actions for making amends for a wrong or an injury. Then it said, in a religious context. So I thought, well, I'm probably not going to like this. Said, it is a reparation or expiation for sin. So I thought, oh, mere big words. But then underneath it said, in Christian theology. I thought, oh, theology, it's going to be worse. It says, it is the reconciliation of God and mankind through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Almost right. Almost right. I thought it was a great definition. But you know what, it's not quite 100% correct. Because you see, my understanding of that word, atonement, and I think in pictures quite a lot. So when I think of the word atonement, I see the cross. That's what my brain does. I read that word atonement, I see the cross in my brain. I see the cross. I think about what Jesus did on the cross. I think about his finished work. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. So here's a definition that I can go with, that I can fully go with. And I think I'm going to work on this as we go through the next 3 weeks. What is the atonement? It is the reconciliation of God and mankind through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now I quite like that. I'll say that again. It is the reconciliation of God and mankind through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So I plan to introduce this to you today. This is just an introductory message, although it'll be good, but it's introductory. And then I'm really going to hit it over the next 3 weeks. So let's forget about Google. What I did next was what I should have done straight away. What's that?
Strong's.
Go to the word. Actually, go to the word. But with a Strong's. Absolutely. Anybody got a Strong's? Do you know what I mean when I'm talking about Strong's? It gives you the Greek and the Hebrew meanings. It used to be this great, huge book that you would need a wheelbarrow to carry. But now, just get it on your phone. Get it on your computer. It's a thing called Strong's. So I did a search for atonement on my Bible app. Really good. And bam, it hit me. How many times do you think the word atonement is in the Bible?
17.
No, it's actually 81. Because that's the verses. 70 verses. 80 of them are in the Old Testament. Only one in the New Testament. So it can't be that important. Oh boy, it is really important. 81 times in 70 verses, 80 of them in the Old Testament, 49 of them in Leviticus. Who loves just ploughing into Leviticus? Yeah, well, you would. Yeah, you kind of got to read Leviticus with a typology head on. And I'm still learning that. Mrs. Typology over here does it. Lots of times in Leviticus. Why? Because Leviticus talks a lot about sacrifices in the Old Covenant. So then I looked up Strong's. What does it mean? Well, in the Old Covenant, it literally means to cover. That's from a root word, to cover. So it's atonement. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, it means to cover. Remember that, it is important. And then we'll go to the one time in the New Covenant. Literally, it means not to cover, to exchange. To exchange. So Old Covenant, to cover. New Covenant, to exchange. Remember that, that's very important as well. So, you know me, I'm a New Covenant guy. Hallelujah. So if I'm going to be preaching about atonement, I'm obviously going to ignore the at the 80 verses at the moment and go to the one because it's in the New Covenant. But I'll get back to the old, don't you worry. So let's go to Romans 5. And in the New Covenant, it is in Romans 5, verse 10. But I want to read from verse 6, I think. So Romans 5. Sorry? Is it verse 11? So it is. That's a good job. I didn't read up to 10. I didn't just read the 10. So it's Romans 5, 11. But let's read from Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Anybody glad that Christ died for the ungodly?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Awesome. Talks about reconciliation. Talks about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it talks of us receiving something through this thing called the atonement. More on that later. So what does the word for atonement mean? Well, in Greek, it is the word katalagi. Literally means exchange, figuratively means adjustment. Listen to this, that is restoration to divine favour. Beautiful meaning. Now the good thing about Strong's, you can look up that word katalagi, because once it is translated as atonement, because you might think, well, it's only used it once in the New Covenant, you only use that word for atonement once. Yeah, but there's other translations for that word katalagi, so we can see that as well. So do a word search in Strong's as well, see what other words mean it, and you'll find that atonement equals reconciliation. Romans 5:11, Romans 11:15, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 talk about that word katalagi, but translated as reconciliation. So in the New Covenant scriptures, atonement equals reconciliation. Now, we've studied out reconciliation many times in this church. I've preached on it a number of times. There is a mini-series on reconciliation. I think I might have done it last year or the year before. Or am I just got a short memory? I remember doing all about reconciliation. So, you're going to get more of the same. Hallelujah. That's what you come here for. Amen. That's what you're going to get. We studied out reconciliation many times before. We know it. And we know it's about two parties coming back into a relationship after an issue broke them apart. Yeah, that's what reconciliation is. Two parties that were together, someone broke them apart, they're now out of relationship. But reconciliation takes them back into relationship. And we know that issue was sin, don't we? This today is like the Ladybird Guide to Theology, okay? So we know that issue was sin, and we know that issue was fixed. How was it fixed? Through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. And what I know, but do I know it enough? What I know, and what's really impacting me this week, is that the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross was so much more than sin. so much more than dealing with sin. But we kind of get hooked up on that sometimes. What did Jesus died on the cross for my sin, died on the cross for my sin. Now that's okay saying that. But what we're going to see, this word atonement, and what we get from it, is salvation, sozo. We're going to see that it's so much more than just dealing with sin. And so I'm going to cover that. We need to cover the sin issue first, though, because we know Jesus really did deal with sin. So, let's go to the Hebrew, because I've done the one verse. I kind of better do the other 80 uses of this word, atonement. And it's used a lot more in the Old Covenant. It's the Hebrew word kafar, something like that. I've got my Hebrew boy here today to check the list. No, if the pronunciation is wrong, Sean, I'm really sorry. Kafar, from the root word to cover. Among other meanings, because there's a kind of list of meanings on this word, is to placate or appease. Now, there's one word that really stood out for me in this list. Apart from cover, it was this word appease. Who did their higher history in Scotland and did the history between the wars? Did you? Oh, Val is now hiding. Okay, right. So, Val, I've kind of given you the answer already, okay? And I'm sure somebody will be kind to... Yeah. So, you listening?
Yes.
Yeah, the question is, I've heard the answer already. What was the policy that Chamberlain advocated against Hitler?
Appeasement.
Appeasement. Appeasement. He tried to placate Hitler. Kind of try and keep him happy. Let me ask you another question. When they appeased Hitler, did he go away? No. He hung around like way more than a bad smell. Eh? Brilliant. He kind of got a little bit stronger and a bit stroppier. And had a bit more of an effect. That is really good. I'm gonna have to work on that one. That's really good. Got a really bit stronger. In the same way, the sacrifices held under the old covenant, atonement, this appeasement, this placating, didn't make sin go away. What's the Hebrew meaning? Cover. Cover. Didn't make it go away. In a very real sense, it was just covered, hidden for a while, not fully dealt with, not removed, still a barrier between mankind and God. You have that sin covered, you go away. Probably not even home. And you've sinned again. That sin's back out in the open, not dealt with. Read Leviticus. If you want, where atonement is used a lot, and you'll see the sacrifices had to be done how often? Again and again and again. Over and over and over again, the priests had to keep doing the sacrifices, day after day, year after year. Now remember that word atonement in the New Covenant means something completely different. What's the word in the New Covenant? Exchange. Katalagi. Exchange. So I'm going to give you a picture. So I asked for one of my beautiful assistants who's going to help me. I asked her earlier. That's you.
You
said yes.
Or she said yes. I stuck in my head in the table.
Well, one of my beautiful assistants, come up here. No, here. That'll do, yeah. You're there. Okay. So... you'll get the symbolism. That is her sin. Okay? That's her sin. She's coming to me, the priest, the high priest. Let's see. Oh, I'm the high priest. You're the sinner. Okay. Let's see a little bit. Excellent. So she comes to me. I do my what I need to do, and I cover her sin. Now, I'm not a magician. I'm not Paul Daniels or anything. I'm not making anything disappear. The word says I covered it. Yeah? Is that sin still there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you go away. Right, come back. So she's still got her sin. So the high priest comes along. What's the high priest? What can the high priest do? What only thing he can do?
Cover it.
Cover it. And she goes away again. She's still got her sin. Back again. Cover back. Cover back. For ad infinitum. Until Jesus Christ comes. Okay? So this time's even better. This time, I am Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am the high priest.
Yes.
I am our high priest. So I'm going to deal with that sin. And I'm going to deal with it properly. Off you go. Right, you come back again. Into shot. What's Val got in her hand?
A gift.
What has she not got in her hand?
Sin.
She's not got sin. Why? Because this time I didn't cover it. What did I do this time?
Exchange it.
I exchange it. Who's got the sin?
Jesus.
Who does it belong to now?
Jesus.
Who's it got nothing to do with?
Me.
Well, what's she got? A gift from whom?
Jesus.
Okay, thank you. Oh yeah, well, no, that's later. Yeah, that's later. See the difference between covenant and exchange? See the difference between atonement in the old covenant, atonement in the new covenant? It's completely different. Great picture of the two types of atonement in the word. Now, it doesn't make one wrong, one right. It's different covenants. That exchange was under the new covenant. What are we living under now? New covenant or old covenant?
New.
Amen. The old covenant is just covered. New covenant is exchanged. Sin taken away and exchanged for something else. And you got it immediately. It's a gift. She got a gift. She went away. She didn't have to keep coming back with the sin. Because the sin's not hers anymore. The sin's got nothing to do with her anymore. What she's got is this wonderful gift. Hallelujah. Now you may be asking, well, why was the difference? Why under one covenant was it covered? And why, you know, when we now talk about atonement, it's a completely different meaning. Why are there two different meanings? One under the old covenant, one under the new covenant. Well, tell me, what happened between the old covenant and the new covenant? The cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Everything changed at the cross. Everything, including the meaning of the word atonement. It all changed. The cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ. What changed was how God related to man because of sin. Sin was that barrier. When it was covered and Val wandered away home, she was still holding her sin, wasn't she? So there was still that barrier. But when Jesus took that apple away, gave her a box instead, there's no barrier now. Like Michelle said in the offering, it's all about relationship. What changed was how God related to sin. God related to man, sorry, because of sin. Before the cross, sin was there, sin was a barrier. After the cross, sin was gone. In the eyes of God. In the eyes of dealing with man. Yeah, it's still here. We're allowing it to muck up our lives. But in the eyes of God, it's been dealt with. It's gone. There is no more apple to be covered. It's all gone. 1 Peter 1:19 talks about Jesus being our sacrificial lamb. 1 John 1:29, John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, here's the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. 1 John 2:2 talks about Jesus being the payment for sins for the whole world. Romans 10:9 and 10 talks about being saved through faith in Jesus and his works, or his work, his finished work. Line them up together, it tells you about this gift that Jesus gave us, this gift called sozo, this salvation. Talks about receiving so much more than what I call traditional salvation, i.e. your ticket into heaven. You get so much more with sozo than a ticket into heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. See, the atonement, Jesus' finished work, is about this great exchange that took place on the cross. So much better than a box for an apple. So much better. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. You'll have noticed, guys, I'm still talking about these verses. I haven't stopped in 3.5 years. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My favourite verse of all time, you all know that. It comes after talking about reconciliation, that same word. After talking about atonement. Now this talks about one of the many exchanges that took place on the cross, and it's one of my favourites. One of my absolute favourites. I'm going to cover all these exchanges over the next couple of weeks, including the one that's hitting home to me at the moment through my brain detox. Because one of the great exchanges that took place on the cross was sickness for healing. For every single one of us. And if we truly believe that, we truly understand that, which I'm having to be honest, through my brain detox, I'm not 100% there. If we truly believe that, we can't be sick. If we truly get that, if we truly understand that, if we detox our brain to that and fill it with the truth, we can see 100% manifestation of healing for everything in our lives. Amen? But this is another great exchange. This is one of the best. Jesus, well, what people say is Jesus took our sin, but he did so much more than that. A lot of people say he took our sin so that we could get his righteousness. But he did so much more. Look very carefully at that verse. Who's got a King James? The best Bible, yeah. We know that, isn't it? The one Jesus read. Hallelujah. Sorry, it's an old joke. But in my Bible, it's got, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. But the words to be are in italics. Are they italics in your Bible? And so some Bibles will have that. What that means is that those words weren't there in the original Greek, but the translators put them in when they made the King James Bible, put them in to make it read easier and make it easier for you to understand. And because of their integrity, which unfortunately a lot of translators don't have, because of their integrity, they put it in italics and said, we've added this in to make it easier for you. The Greek would say, for he hath, he, that's God, if you read the context, for he hath made him, that's Jesus, he had made him sin for us. There is a big, big, big implication there. Jesus didn't take our sin on his body. Jesus was made sin. Now that kind of to me answers the question, why did God turn his face away from Jesus when he was on the cross, his son? Because at a certain point on the cross, Jesus wasn't Jesus. Jesus was made sin. Sin was on the cross. Jesus, God couldn't look at sin. We know that he's a holy God. He can't have anything to do with sin. Jesus was made sin. Now when you get that implication, and you understand it's all about an exchange, you get the next bit. So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus was made your sin. Your sin. He actually became your sin. And then in this exchange, you can be made his righteousness. That is mind-blowing when we get it. It is life-changing. He was made sin. We are made righteous. We can't do anything about ourselves being more righteous or less righteous. We are made righteous. You're either righteous or you're not. And it's all possible because of the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross. All possible because of this atonement. And that is just staggering. I don't need to be like Andrew Womack and tell you when I'm excited. I mean, this excites me. What does he say? If this doesn't excite you, if this doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Okay, I kind of like that one. This is exciting. How anybody tells me reading the Bible is boring needs a slap. It is. That is a bit harsh. That is a bit harsh. Very harsh. The Bible's exciting, guys. You know, the Bible is way more exciting than this 21-day brain detox. But that's exciting because it's using the Bible. You might think, oh, he's excited all about this 21-day brain detox. No, I'm excited about using the Word in it to change my life and be more better. Just be better. More of whatever. It's awesome. Jesus was made sin that we could be made righteous. Anyway. As a gift of grace through faith, when we are born again, we are made righteous. You guys know that. I've taught it. But do we really know it? Not just any righteousness. That's the other thing. Not just any. I'm as righteous as God. So are you. Yes. I would say even Stewie, but no. Stewie is righteousness of God. Why? Because he's been born again. He's put his faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. And the Word says if you do that, you're made righteous. Now, me and Stuart, quite often, don't do righteous things. But as we go through our life, learning more about the finished work of Jesus Christ, we do less and less unrighteous things as we're renewing our mind and being transformed. But it doesn't matter what we do, we're still righteous. Why? Because it's a gift of grace through faith. And God, once he's given you a gift, does not take it away. Doesn't matter what we do. Not good for you on earth, but it doesn't have any significance. And that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, is a perfect example of what happens at the atonement. It's a perfect example of one of these exchanges, one of the many exchanges on the great exchange. Gonna do some deep theology here with you. Straight from the Ladybird Book of Theology. Okay? This is 2 Corinthians 5:21, is a perfect example of the atonement. On the cross, listen very carefully, Jesus took our bad stuff and gives us his good stuff. There you go, that's deep. Bet you didn't learn that in 3 years of car, I said. Yeah, you learned it before you went, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll no get that at Bible colleges. That's deep. But guys, theology should be simple. I'm joking here. You know, this isn't really hard to understand. If we think of the atonement, it was about the cross when Jesus took away the bad stuff and gave us the good stuff. It's really that simple. It's not deep theology, is it? But it's good stuff. Think about it like that. He took away all the bad stuff. Or the bad stuff that's in here. There's some bad stuff that actually didn't take away because that we still have to go through, like persecution. Because he didn't deal with persecution on the cross. But there are lists in here of bad stuff that he took, complementing it with the good stuff that he gave us. And he gave it as a gift. Not about your performance. Not because you pray, tithe and fast, although they're good for you. Possibly. Maybe without the tithe. But giving. You don't have to pray and give and fast in order to receive from God. But because he gives you a gift just because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's all about his finished work. And that's the crux of the atonement for me. Took our bad stuff, our bad stuff, and gave us his good stuff. That's important. And what he did with regards to this and being a sacrifice was so different and so much better than those under the old covenant. Go to Hebrews 10. Amen. Hebrews 10. Oh boy. Almost as good as the end of 2 Corinthians 5. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. They could never take Val's apple away. They can only cover it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? And if it worked, why do it again? If we're repeating things, it's because it didn't work the first time. Because the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Cover them, aye, but nay, take them away. So what difference did Jesus make? Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices. Listen to the repetition. Which can never take away sin. But this man, what man?
Jesus
Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Priests under the old covenant had to do the sacrifices again and again and again. Had to cover it again and again and again. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Sacrifices again and again and again. Why? Because those sacrifices could not take away sin. Jesus. Perfect. What does Peter say? The perfect Lamb of God. Spotless and perfect. He does it once. And once only. Folks say, "Oh, I don't know if I'm forgiven for all my sins." Well, you have to be forgiven of all your sins because Jesus only did this once. I'll tell you what, he's coming back again, but he's not coming back again to go on the cross for your sins. Tell him I'm not here. Hallelujah. One time, his sacrifice, once and once only. Why? Because he dealt with sin once and for all. He took it away. He didn't cover it. He exchanged it. And when you exchange something, you don't have what you started the process with. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Who remembers Swap Shop?
Yeah.
Remember Swap Shop?
811.
I don't even remember the number. So you'd go on national TV and have a sort of half-broken toy and you exchange it for someone else. At Swap Shop. You exchanged it. You didn't have your old toy at the end of the process. You exchanged it. I see, it's funny what just pops into your head. Noel Edwards, poof. Cheggers, Maggie Philbin, who was the other guy?
Anyway,
John Craven. When you exchange something, you don't have what you started the process with. Val and me exchanged this apple in this box. At the end, Val didn't have the apple, did she? She exchanged it. I mean, I'm really labouring the point here. But repetition works, guys. I didn't cover it that time. I exchanged it. She didn't go away with the apple, she went away with a box. Amen. His sacrifice, once and once only, the perfect sacrifice. The old covenant, like it says in verse 1, a shadow of things to come. A typology showing what Jesus was going to do when he came. All the way through the old covenant, it's just a shadow. What's Jesus going to do? What's he going to do perfectly? a shadow. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. He could sit down after his sacrifice because he was finished. The priests, it says, standing daily. The priests couldn't sit down. Why? Because their work wasn't finished. Jesus finished and sat down. Oh, I love that picture. Ooh. Sin dealt with. He was made sin so that we could be made righteous. But remember I said, not only sin for righteousness, there's loads of other exchanges at the cross. So much more. Val, would you like to come and open your present? Yeah. Come on then. Loot. So, come in here and open up your present I gave you. Instead of your sin, so what have you got instead?
Ooh. Lots of stuff.
We have got prosperity. And we have he took away poverty. We have acceptance. And he took away rejection. Crossed it out. Crossed it out, it's gone away. He gave us healing. Because he took our sickness and pain and disease. He took our punishment and gave us forgiveness. What a present. He took our sin and he gave us righteousness. Told you about that already. We were orphans. Took that away, he gave us adoption. We're now adopted in his family. What a great exchange. Took away curses. He became cursed on the tree, didn't he? So that we wouldn't be cursed, but we would be blessed. So how many spiritual blessings do we have in heavenly places? Ephesians 1:3. All because of the atonement. And he took away death and exchanged it for life. What type of life?
Abundance.
Life in abundance. There's a few more. I'll work on them this week. Thank you, Bob. He took so much away and gave us so much in return. Guys, all we got to do is open up the box and receive what he's already given us.
Yes.
What he has for us. So much in there. But guys, if we get this sozo box, sozo gift, sozo package, and we leave the top on, like Psalm 103 verse 2, if we forget some of his benefits, have we forgotten that he's healed us? Have we forgotten that he's prospered us? Have we forgotten that he's accepted us? Have we forgotten that he's given us life? Guys, open up the box. Open up the box, leave it open. See what he's got there. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to open up that box. And we're going to look at the great exchanges. Lots of them. What an exchange. What a good deal. Who likes a good deal? Anybody like a good deal? Who likes going into a shop and getting 50% off things? Yeah. Who would prefer to go into a shop and get it for nothing? Yeah. Do you want all that? You want all that? You want that box? You want all those tickets that are in there? You want your healing? You want your healing. You want your sickness scrubbed out and your healing instead? Do you want your poverty scrubbed out? Prosperity put instead?
Yes.
Just accept what's in the box. Understand it. Believe it. Yeah, change the thought patterns that we have about the atonement. Amen. Understand your true identity.
Yeah.
Everything that we have in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. And that'll make a difference. A good deal. It's all in the salvation box. All we need to do is open it up. Next week, we're going to start exploring all those great exchanges. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I better get rid of that. Hallelujah. We are now...